Remember the guy with the chickens? You were hosting with me that day, right?
I don't know the guy with the chickens. That's a whole different podcast, I think. I don't even know.
Holy cow, this podcast.
Wow. Oh, all right. Was I there? All right. Anyway, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Making Today Make Sense is what we are doing.
And I'm Amy Scott. Thank you for joining us this Friday for Economics on Tap, whether you're on the YouTube live stream with us or listening to the podcast.
Or on the Discord or what have you. We do it all. We do it all on the spot. So we're going to do some news. We're going to do a little half full, half empty. I am drinking, let's see. I've got the Santa Monica Brew Works. It's a double IPA. It's called Head in the Clouds. And I'll just show it to you because it's a lot hazier than I sort of expected it would be. Not bad. Not bad. Just AC. What about you? You're in the D.C. Bureau, the Washington, D.C. Bureau.
Kimberly, sorry. I raided the fridge here, and I have a feeling this was left by one Kimberly Adams. It's a the Vita Loca Macarita. So it's a mock margarita.
Oh, yeah.
I've not tasted it yet, but it's what I need because I was actually at a happy hour, a real happy hour, a few hours ago. And I needed to move on to non-alcoholic.
Yes. Yes. So I was in the Bureau last week, and I can tell you that is Kimberly's. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Sorry, Kimberly. I'm also using your Slack account and your Google Docs. I swear I'm not trying to be creepy. It's just, you know, I usually work from my closet in Baltimore.
That's right.
Today's a special day. I'm here in Washington in our official studios.
All right.
You know, this isn't bad. I'm just going to say. Macarita.
Good.
I'm here for it because I will not fall asleep on the train home.
Well, exactly. But if I remember correctly, there's a bunch of those in the fridge. There's a bunch of those mocktails. So you might as well just, you know, clean Kimberly out if she's not around.
Take a couple home. Exactly.
You know, I'm just saying.
Get the weekend started.
Just saying.
Thanks, Kimberly.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's do a little news before we get to half full, half empty and Mr. Jostad. What do you got?
All right. I got something that you talked about just a few minutes ago in my headphones on the Marketplace evening program. But the S&P 500, as you know, got awfully near bear market territory today. Dipped briefly below the threshold of 3837, which is where it closed at its high, most recent high, January 3rd. And so, as you know, technically a bear market is when an index is down 20% from its recent high. And we can talk about that distinction, whether it really matters, because, you know, the way that the market has been behaving recently is awfully bearish, whether it's official or not. But I saw this piece on MarketWatch that I thought you would find interesting as a history buff yourself. It looked basically at the recent history of bear markets. Looking at the S&P 500 since World War II, there have been 17 of them, bear or near bear markets. Generally, the market falls further after reaching that 20% threshold before it starts to recover. And a recovery would be when it's 20% above the recent low. So on average, they last about a year. And the peak to trough decline tends to be around 30%. So if we hit 20, if history predicts, which it doesn't, but the average would be we could expect to see more. This is really interesting. The biggest bear market in that period, a decline of almost 57%, was during the financial crisis, 2007, 2009. Well, I know. I was like, oh, yeah, I was there. But the longest
blocked it out.
Right. The longest bear market was 1973 to 74, lasting nearly 21 months. And the shortest, we should all remember, was in March of 2020 at the beginning of the pandemic. So, you know, past performance does not guarantee future results. But I thought it was kind of an interesting context there as we're considering whether we are about to be in an official bear market.
Yeah, totally interesting to know. So those of you who pay attention to the stock market will know that the NASDAQ, the tech-heavy NASDAQ, has been in a bear market for a while now, right? It's down like 28% on the year. The reason the S&P being in a bear market matters is because the S&P is a much broader is a much better reflection of the broader market than the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ has all the high-flying tech companies, right? And they went way up, and they have now crashed. The S&P 500, though, is the whole market, basically, right? And it's widely representative, and that's why that matters.
Right.
Just for those who are wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that context.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right, what you got?
Well, look, it's, you know, I can't, it's like I wake up at 2 a.m. and this is what I think about, which means I need to get a life. Okay, so two things. One of which is an observation. Actually, they're both observations. So I saw this piece in the Wall Street Journal that, and you, to appreciate my take on this, you have to understand that when my wife and I were leaving the Foreign Service, she had decided she wanted to go to business school. And so she took the GMATs, the General Graduate Management something something test to get into business school.
Yeah, graduate school test, right.
Right. And she is the brains of the family, and she got into all the top-notch business schools that she applied to, except for one. I, not knowing what I wanted to do when I grow up, decided I would revisit my undergraduate thought of maybe going to law school. So I took the LSATs in Beijing, which is a whole different story. But I am not the brains of the family, and I did not get into any of the law schools that I applied to, which is how I wound up on the radio. But again, that's a whole different story.
And we're all thankful for that, Kai.
Well, as am I. Literally, it changed my life. The best thing that ever happened to me was not getting into law school. For real. It's crazy. Anyway, I bring that up just as a way to say that there's a panel of the American Bar Association that accredits law schools that proposed today to make standardized tests, the LSAT, the Law School Admissions Test, or whatever it is, proposed making that test optional. Which would be huge, which would be huge for the same reason that optionality in undergraduate standardized tests has become such a big deal. Some of the same principles apply, right? It's tough to get a broad representative sample of students. If you test that way, there are exclusions based on race and income because they just can't get the mentoring and the prep courses and all that stuff. I just think that's really interesting. I think that's really interesting.
Absolutely. That would really shake up the industry.
Yeah, as a guy who did terribly on the LSATs, terribly. Okay, so that's item number one. Item number two, I read this and I went, wow, this is kind of a big deal. So Congress voted last week, both the House and the Senate did, on a reproductive rights bill in the wake of the leak of the Alito draft from 2 or 3 weeks ago that seems to have the Supreme Court position to overturn Roe versus Wade. So the House voted on its version. The Senate voted on its version. It does a bunch of – each of them do different things, and they go farther than Roe v. Wade did. But Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, voted for that reproductive rights bill. Speaker Pelosi is a devout and practicing Catholic. And today, the Archbishop of San Francisco, which is to say the Archbishop of her home archdiocese – notified her and made the letter public, which I just think is weird, frankly, that they are going to exclude her from taking communion. And I get that this is way outside the topic of the usual fare on this podcast, but I think it's just fascinating and wow and huh. And
wow,
it's just kind of wild. Yeah. So I'm just going to read this to you because the language is stark. I am hereby notifying you, and this is her Archbishop, you are, and in bolded text, not to present yourself for Holy Communion, and should you do so, you are not to be admitted to Holy Communion until such time as you publicly repudiate your advocacy for the legitimacy of abortion and confess and receive absolution of this grave sin in the sacrament of penance. That's wild, and it's huge.
The Speaker of the House. Yeah, it is. But, I mean, she's not alone among Catholics.
Oh, no.
So,
hello, Joe Biden.
What kind of conversation is happening?
Right, right.
Within the church.
Well, it's worth pointing out here that Pope Francis has basically said, you know what, we're not going to deny people Holy Communion for this. I guess the Archbishop of San Francisco feels differently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
One to watch. Yep. That's really interesting.
Anyway. That was a little far afield for us, but it really hit me. And so I wanted to just remark upon it because that's what we get to do on this podcast.
I had not heard that.
Yeah?
Right.
All right, Drew, you're up. All right. Half full, half empty is the game. Drew Jostad is in charge. Amy and I are just along for the ride. Begin.
Okay. Tesla's stock has been removed from the S&P 500 ESG index. Are you half full or half empty?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. He was really mad about that.
Oh, boy, was he mad. I think he was probably mad about some other things, too. but he was mad about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know what? I mean, look, is Tesla reshaping the world? Yes. Is Elon Musk a jerk? Yes. I suppose I'm half, I have no strong opinion on this, but my boss, Nancy Cassett, has told me I have to take a stand in this segment. So I'm going to say half full on them being removed.
She has, really?
Oh, yeah, for sure. She actually slapped me one afternoon and said, I want to hear what you think. I'm like, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't have to take a stand because I'm just a guest.
Yes. Okay,
yeah,
good.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think it's good that we're holding companies to some account for their environmental, social, and governance policies, procedures, impact. But I don't really know how much difference that's going to make.
Exactly. There you go. Next.
Okay, New York City has more Airbnb listings than apartments for rent. Are you half full or half empty?
I saw that, what was it, yesterday? And I kind of wondered how that could be, but I suppose it could. Look, Airbnb is challenging, right? Because it provides a much-needed service just for the traveling public. It lets landlords get some extra income, but it also can skew rental rates and housing availability. And especially in a place that's as densely packed as Manhattan and New York City, I'm going to say I'm half empty on that.
Yeah, look, you're putting me on the spot here as a housing reporter.
I know,
I can't really take a stand on something like this. But I'm going to say I'm half empty on the effect on the supply of housing just to live in. I mean, this is a crisis.
Totally,
it really is a crisis. And I agree with Kai. There's lots of good things about rental income for short-term rentals and the availability of cool places to stay. But it's a problem that communities really need to deal with, because it is making it much harder for regular folks to afford a place to live.
Well handled, housing reporter. Well handled.
Thank you.
True. Continue.
Are you half full or half empty on a strong dollar?
Oh.
Oh. So Sabri did this story for us a couple of days ago. The dollar now is as strong as it's been in 20-something years against the euro and the British pound. It's really strong against the Japanese yen, I think. It's a little bit of a double-edged sword, right? Because a strong dollar attracts more people buying it, right? Because it's rising in value. We could do the whole carry trade story if we wanted to. It also makes it easier for Americans to buy goods that we are importing, but it makes it trickier for American exports to be bought overseas. So all right, look, here's the truth. I don't care whether the dollar's weak or strong. I should care, but I don't, because there's so many other factors in this economy that determine things. I suppose I'm half full on a strong dollar. Better strong than weak. There we go. Okay, finally, I'm coming around to it. Thank you for this therapy session. I am half full on a strong dollar. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to be half full too, because I really, really want to go to Europe and not feel like,
oh my God. Yeah.
Every time I see the prices.
Yeah, well, look. So, yes, exactly. So it's basically at parity now, right? It's almost one-to-one with the euro. So if you're going to go now. Yes.
Right?
For
Unfortunately,
sure.
I don't think I can for other reasons, but that makes me kind of excited. But I'm not an exporter, so it's easy for me
to say
that.
That's right. All right, do we have another one?
We have a survey reported in the Wall Street Journal that 2/3 of managers say they'd be willing to rehire a middling former employee because of the tight labor market.
Really? That's wild.
Do they use the word middling? I hope no one ever says that about me. It's just the most, meh thing you could say about someone. I think that's interesting.
Welcome aboard, middling former employee.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm half empty on that, because it just shows how tight the labor market is and, the difficult situation employers are in trying to hire people. But, hey, it's good for the middling former employee.
That's right, of which, we've all been one. I've been a middling employee before. Yeah, what Amy said. I'm happy.
There are days, maybe this week, when I was a middle-aged employee.
That's right. So. Maybe even right now. Who knows? Sorry. Who knows?
Hopefully not. That's a good one, Drew. I like that.
That is a good one.
Okay, last topic. I think I asked Amy about this fast food item last time she was here on a Friday.
Oh my God, what?
But apparently there is a TikTok musical in the works about the Taco Bell Mexican pizza starring Doja Cat and Dolly Parton. I'm just reading the what they give me. Are you half full or half
Bridget,
empty?
I think Bridget had a couple before she put this question together.
Dolly Parton for real?
For real?
Oh, I'm totally full on this one. Like overflowing. Yes.
Okay. What Amy said. I don't know. Possibly. Whatever. Who knows?
Hi.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I guess we don't get to even talk about that one. There's more to that story.
No, go ahead.
For another time.
If you've got thoughts, please share them. Please share them right now.
Well, it's been said on this show in the past when I think you were out that I am a Taco Bell fan. So it's my go-to like road food. And
wow,
I don't know about the Mexican pizza. I don't know if it deserves its own whole musical, but I'm here for it.
And other things you never knew about Amy Scott. I guess listeners did because you've talked about it before. I don't know.
Yeah, and I was sheepish about it, but now, you know, I'm like, I'm leaning fully into that. So
you got to own it.
All right.
You got to own it. You got to own it.
I own it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Super quick on the way out here. Let me just remind everybody, it is still fundraising time. We are still trying to get the money we need to run this podcast and all of Marketplace. Super quick. Here's the deal. If you give today, you can get the Kai PA glass, $7 a month. It goes back in the vault in a week. I have a secret stash, but that's just me because my name is on it. $7 a month, the Kai PA glass. Please help us out. Make marketplace.org/givesmart or click on the link that they are going to put in the show notes. And we appreciate anything at all that you can do. Truly, we do.
Back in the vault. That's heavy.
They lock them up because it's high demand. And I don't know. Anyway, although there is actually a warehouse in St. Paul where they store them. Anyhow, that's it for us.
That's what they
we're
mean
done.
By
Kimberly's
the vault.
Kimberly's back next week. Tuesday, we're doing a deep dive on something we touched on briefly this week. I think Kimberly did, but we think merits a little bit more discussion. The Supreme Court ruling in FEC, Federal Election Commission versus Ted Cruz for Senate, which basically removes some of the limits around political fundraising. It could be a big deal come, oh my gosh, the upcoming midterms and 2024 politics. Money in politics is a big deal. Send us your questions on that, actually, and your thoughts, and anything else you want to share with us for the mailbag, please.
And you can do that by sending us a voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can leave us a voice message at 508-827-6278. That's 508-UBE-SMART.
Can I just ask here, what's the difference between a voice message and a voice memo? Can we just, Bridget, I think we need to fix that. I'm just saying.
Voicemail, voice memo app, you know?
I don't know. Make Me Smart
the
is
way
produced
you record
by
it.
Marissa Cabrera. Maybe. Our intern is Tiffany Bowie. Today's episode was engineered by, of course, Drew Jostad. Senior producer and arbiter of all questions and problems is Bridget Bonner.
The team behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, Isabel Linden, and Emily McCune, with theme music written by Drew Jostad. And the director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
All right, wait. So Bridget is slacking. Voicemail. You call our number and talk and then hang up and move on. And I guess voice message is a thing you record. Yeah, you record your thing, listen to it, and then decide if you like it and then send it to us. All right, so they're different. But still, we need to... Okay, I'm going to change that next time. That's all I'm saying. Host privilege.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.